the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
No, I'm single and I do not have children.
Wow. So you pour your heart into others. Well, you've got a lot of people under your tutelage, I'm sure.
I do indeed. And it has, you know, people would say, do you have kids? And I say, well, my clients are kind of my family. They're my kids.
They are, you know, they're forever learning and they never go away. So I'm glad that you're here with me on the Edge, Deborah Morrison. Brains, let me tell you, let me start by saying this, okay, before I even get started in my interview, is that when I was talking to Deborah, we were talking a little bit of business, and you know what she said to me that has resonated and will stay in my heart? She said, you know what? I'll support you in that. Those were her exact words. I will support you in that. You don't know what that did. Now, you know, I talk to a lot of people. I got a lot of people on my show. I do a lot of business. But when somebody says that they're going to make an investment in you, they don't know you, they're going to trust you, they're going to be that leg, just like on that easel, that's going to support you, that's going to be there for you. That's powerful. And so I just want to thank you very much sincerely, because that meant the world to me. That meant the world to me. You can't put a price on that.
Excellent.
But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some finance. Because I know y'all's money is funny. Look at my little piggy. I brought her with me because she's hungry. We're going to talk to Deborah Morrison. Deborah has been a leader in the industry for over 46 years, Brains. She's looking good too, ain't she? But you know,
42 years, April. Don't go too. It was child labor, but it's no longer 42.
Okay, 42. And now she is empowered and retired. How does she do that? What was her strategy? It's a whole different thing. The coin is looking funny now. And I want to talk to some of you younger women that are setting yourself up to knock it down. Late 20s, early 30s, mid 40s. This is the time to set yourself up independently, not codependently, you know, because you don't know what's going to happen to your spouse. And let me tell you, Brains, nowadays, folks ain't dying. They're becoming disabled. And that just sucks everything up. So Deborah's going to give us some strategies. She's going to talk about some great things. She's done a TED Talk. She's been on CNN. She's been on ABC, Fox. Come on now. You know, I only bring you the best and the brightest. So help me welcome her to the Edge, Deborah Morrison. How are you?
Thanks, April. I'm really great. And I'm so happy to be here with you. It's just a thrill.
I know. And you're just a love. So let's start with your story and your journey. Break it down for my Brains. Tell them where it all began for you.
Well, it was really a humble beginnings, raised on a 100-acre beef farm, and we didn't have a lot of money, and yet my grandfather was a stock market investor, and as we got into high school, he and my grandmother had gifted us some shares of stock, and he handed me those stock certificates, and April, his hands were shaking, literally, just like this, and I took note because he wasn't one for a lot of emotion, and he said, you know, here, Deb, here's stocks. Don't sell them until you have to. And I was really captivated. And then my aunt, God love her, took us to, we were, you know, Western Pennsylvania, came to New Jersey, and she took us into Manhattan and took us to the New York Stock Exchange. And we were walking above the New York Stock Exchange in the days when they had paper tickets and got, it was almost all white men running around the floor and yelling and screaming and throwing tickets up, and they were knee high in paper. And I just looked through that plexiglass and I thought, oh, there is some energy there that I want to be involved with. I never thought I would want to be yelling and screaming like that. But you know what captivated me, April? It was the energy of money. Mm. And it's never escaped me. So I don't approach money as something to fear, to worship. I approach to hoard. I approach money as, let's gather our energy. Let's be as smart as we can so we don't have leakage of our energy or our money. And let's funnel that energy towards what is completely congruent with us as investors, and now particularly as women. Now, I am a founder of my new company, Women Navigating Finances. And I did that company, formed that company for women particularly, and particularly mature women who have been socialized so poorly, April, about their money. And to your point, you know, don't worry your little head over that, Betty. Bob will handle it, you know. And I want to say, well, that's fine if Bob doesn't come home one day and trade you in for 230s, or Bob doesn't die premature.
Or Bob don't trade you in for Betty.
Well, there you go. So the aspect of us wanting and needing, I believe, to marshal as much energy in the form of money and that which money can buy, right, so that we can care for ourselves. And see, women often have this notion of coming all out giving to the other. Like, it's part of the socialization, I get it. So I get the fact that we've been socialized, especially older women, not so much younger women, but older women have some vestiges, whether it's religious, societal, whatever, of you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, it's too late, you don't deserve it. Someone, you know, slept their way to the top, and that's what the money is, the root of all evil. I mean, I was raised Christian fundamentalist, easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. So I say, it's not your fault, all of these negative money messages, and yet it is our responsibility. And that's when I come into the picture and say, let's partner together. Now, in the background here, you see a picture of me at the top. I've crested Mount Kilimanjaro, and I did it last year.
Wow.
And I did it after a lot of training. And yet I also was under the tutelage of a trained and trusted guide, because you do not want to misstep going up a mountain, and you don't want to misstep even going across some plains until you get to the mountain. We're all on a journey, unless our life is cut short with death or disability, for example, such that we want to take the right steps to avoid slippage, danger, and to reward ourselves to get to our journey, our next destination point. So my guide had been up Mount Kilimanjaro 786 times before.
Ooh, wow, that's incredible. Now, you talk about climbing steep mountains. Right now, people feel that they are at, you know, they're in the pit of despair. Yeah. They don't see their way out. They've been unemployed. They're having to tap into, you know, their 401k. They're tapping in and selling off their stock. But you have an optimistic approach and an optimistic view. Can you share that with my brains?
I will. And this pandemic has brought a ton of government aid, more so than anything else. The 07-08 downfall in the market, the dot-com bubble, 2000-2001, all of these were market gyrations. But this pandemic has caused the government to just flood the market with help. So you got a waiver and you didn't have to pay your mortgage for 6 months, and you could extend it another 6 months. Many people are coming up on that April right now, September. You didn't have to pay some of your rent. You didn't have to pay some of your electric. Your car insurance was deferred. A lot of people's insurance was deferred, point blank. And there was the opportunity to tap your 401k, unlike the normal rules, up to $100,000. And I was saying, especially with all of the aid that the government is throwing into our laps, please do not touch your 401k. Why? Because we're further kicking the can of quote unquote retirement. And I don't care if you want to call it retirement. I know people bristle sometimes, younger people, especially, I don't call them retirement. But whatever it is you want to do later in life, when you're going to be taking some monies out of your nest egg to support yourself instead of putting quite so much into it. That's how I think of it. You know, we're saving and saving and saving, and we're taking money out of our earned income or unearned income, and we're putting it aside, much like squirrels. I say, we got to be as smart as squirrels. You see, squirrels in the Northeast, they're gathering their nuts right now because they know winter is coming, and the snow is going to obviate any opportunity for them to gather nuts. So they bulge their cheeks, and they put it in a secret hiding place. Now, what some people have found during this pandemic is, oh my gosh, I was caught short. I didn't have an emergency fund, and that hurts. So let's pivot. And what many of us can do to give ourselves an emergency fund, even the smallest one, right, April, because we want to start small, we may need to start small. And start is my point. I don't want to focus on the small. Start. So we start by saying, I'm never going to want to feel that same desperate feeling again. And so if I have to eat mac and cheese or peanut butter and jelly for a while, I commit to myself to not subjecting myself to that kind of negative feeling, because all of those negative feelings do bear a cost. And then we have to kind of, when we decide and we get the courage or the guidance or the help to move on, we've got to clear out all that stuff, those cobwebs that have come over our confidence. So I say, don't have the cobwebs come over your confidence. Let's bring all of those emotions up. Let's feel them on the conscious level. And now we can deal with them.
Right, but that's energy. And, you know, and that's the power of energy. And people, I want you to understand, brains, that, you know, this piece of paper that I have right here is no more valuable than the piece of paper that I carry in my wallet. Now I go to restaurants, they don't even want cash. They say their card only. So what is it? It is a vehicle of exchange. It is energy. It is movement. And that's what it needs to do. It needs to circulate. Like Deborah said, you don't need to hoard it. You want to be smart, you know, but you want to move it. And you want to make sure that it has some traction. So give my lady investors, you know, again, let's talk to the 40-year-olds, 45-year-olds. Give them a couple great walkaways or some great takeaways when looking at their money right now. You know, they're homeschooling. They're trying to pivot. They're creating online businesses. And, you know, that's another thing I want you to talk about, too, entrepreneurs. For some reason, you think that you're going to be entrepreneur all your life. You're going to be entrepreneur. You better learn how to invest some of that money and make that money work for you. Am I right, Deborah?
Yes, and certainly, April, you want to pay yourself first. I don't care if you're in a 401k with a large or middle-sized company or you're an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur has the opportunity to set up their own pension plans, right? And we must do that, even if we start with an IRA and then we come to an individual 401k or a profit sharing or anything that's very sophisticated. And yet, the principle is the same. The airlines have it right. Put your own oxygen mask on first.
Absolutely.
We can't run our cars forever. Eventually the idiot light comes on. And I want to stress that the idiot light comes on to even us bright women brains and says, hello, you've driven a lot of miles and you never have given this car enough gas to go a lot more miles. So you need to stop and find a filling station. That's what we used to call them. So we need to fill ourselves up. Now for younger women or for any age women, you've got to look at stocks as the historically best performing asset class, even better than real estate. And why women don't look and invest more in stocks is principally, I think, because women have a very huge aversion to losing money. And many of us have. And some of us have lost it in the stock market. And then we go running away like a tail with our tail between our legs. Now, wait a minute. We've all burned cookies. We've all ruined meals, right? These are small.
We all went to a casino and played bingo.
So we've all lost. It's just that I want to invite us back into the conversation of let's be smart, let's be brainy about looking at historic returns. Now, no one knows what the future returns will hold, but Mark Twain says that history may not repeat itself, yet it'll surely rhyme. So you take a look at the difference between stock returns and bond returns. And you know, April, this is going to determine whether women are able to retire or kick back
right
comfortably. Absolutely. Or kick back at a later time in life. And when I pose that to women in particular, and I say, well, when would you like to kick back? And they say, oh, you know, 62, 65, whatever their age, I don't care what it is. And I say, well, how'd you like to do that 2 years earlier? And they're like, can I do it? I said, well, if we get the right investment recipe, right? And most often women fail to pad their portfolios with stocks because they're too scared, too ignorant, too burned, or whatever. And I say ignorant, not stupid. So I'm coming along with the truths about money. I have a course called that. I'm coming along with the straight talk, because on the farm, April, you dealt with real life, boots on the ground. The cows are out, go get them, fix the fence so you don't have to go out and chase the cows again. So, you know, you're talking about a girl that uses analogies all day long, which I think helps women, right? You don't open your spice cabinet and use every spice making a roast or making a chocolate cake. You discern. So you discern in your investment portfolio, you have a little bit of large stocks, much like flour in a recipe for a chocolate cake. You have a lot more flour than baking soda, but you need the baking soda unless you're dealing with an unleavened chocolate cake. See, so you need the small stocks in your portfolio because they give it some diversification, and you need the large stocks. So if you've got a time horizon more than 7 years, come into stocks and stay in stocks.
I've been in stocks and bonds. Well, in bonds, but more so stock. And I've had great success even with penny stocks. Brains, you can go in and get penny stocks. You know, like Pier 1, they're closed now, but once upon a time, they were a penny stock. Right. There's all kinds of things. What I do is when I'm looking for a stock, I go with my heart. Right. I go with, I have a great portfolio that I work with right now that is about renewability and sustainability. Yeah. You know, clean water. Are they anti- some of the things that I don't agree with. Right. What is the longevity of that? And you know what? It seems to be working for me because there's alternative options. New investors, you know, they're looking at alternative currencies. You know, that's an option. I believe it's going to change. Everybody's got their own opinion about that, but I do believe it's going to change. Everything must evolve. And so women, you know, we want to take back over the planet. And so we have to do that, but we've got to make sure that the energy is right and that there is a great recipe for success. And that's exactly what Deborah is cooking up. Tell us a little bit about your ongoing programs and what you're doing right now.
Well, right now I have a Facebook group that's called Women Navigating Finances. And it's a forum of, I don't know, 150 women so far, growing every day, where we put our concerns in the comments and I'm answering those kinds of things. And then I'm going to invite women to join me in a paid group. And then we're going to go much deeper and so forth with everyone's financial concerns. And I say finances. I named the company Women Navigating Finances because we need to manage debt. We need to figure out risk analysis. We need to figure out assets and liabilities, our sustainability, our longevity risks. We need to plan for our estate so that we can leave meaningful legacies. So it's the entire bag, if you will, of finances. Not the least of which is risk management, liability insurance. I say one lawsuit can ruin your whole day, right? So people get myopic about this stock versus that stock. And meanwhile, they're not carrying any umbrella liability, right? Mm-hmm. Nonsense. So here's the deal. You want to be in a series of different types of investments. And that doesn't mean 14 different Fidelity or Vanguard mutual funds. It means different types, size, country, region, etc. I like socially responsible investing. You can dial up your own program that is congruent with your meaning. Yet, ultimately, we've got to start, and I feel it's important to do it systematically, which is why people have larger balances in their 401k than outside, see? And so you want to start by saving right out of your paycheck. Like the first time you get eligible for a 401k, bing, you're in it. Get in it. The only time you're going to miss the check is that difference is the first couple of months. And then you're just going to say, didn't see it, didn't spend it, I invested it. Like I had a client 100 years ago, and I looked at her portfolio, and she has $67,000 in Pepsi stock. And I said, well, can you tell me the story behind the Pepsi? She goes, I never imagined it would be that much. She said, I just enjoyed Pepsi, and I started investing in Pepsi. And then she did what's called a DRIP, dividend reinvestment program.
Right.
And so she just kept investing $100 a month, and she has $67,000. See, compounding works for us while we're sleeping. And compounding also works in the reverse, April, if we don't act brainy and we think, I don't know exactly what to do and I'm thinking I'm going to make a mistake. I'm fearful I'm going to make a mistake. So I'm not going to start yet because I need to gather a whole bunch of more data. And now that gets me on just a second on financial literacy. This drives me bats. This drives me bats. You know, a lot of men are out there saying, well, women just need to be financially literate, right? Yeah, good, thanks. If I have a problem with my brakes and I take my car to my mechanic and I say, you know, like I have a problem with my brakes, they're a little squishy. Can you take a look at it? And he, typically man, hands me this book, this thick, of the entirety of automotive parts. I'm going to probably just throw that right back. I'm not even going to accept it. Like, I don't care about the steering wheel. I came in for brakes. So if we are cast back into the libraries, because we love to research, us women, we just want to reduce all possibility of a mistake. Hey, move, act. What gets us out of our fears? And I'm not saying all women are fear-struck about finances, and yet there are a whole bunch of women, and particularly older women, caught in their fear. Move through the fear. As Dr. Susan Jeffers said, and God love her and God rest her soul, she's a dear friend of mine, and she's dead now. And she wrote, feel the fear and do it anyway. And I got permission from her estate to use feel the fear, financial fear, and do it anyway for my TED Talk. And this is a beautiful, Susan draws a beautiful continuum, April, for us brains to hold our fear. Now, I don't care if it's about finances or relationship or raising kids. I don't care what it's about. If you're holding fear and you're paralyzed about that fear, then read Dr. Susan Jeffers' book. Come to Women Navigating Finances. We'll give a copy of her continuum, which gives you the feeling that you don't have to take up residency in this fear, right? You might be feeling fear now, and then you take an action step, and that propels you towards the power end of that continuum. So yes, we'll slip back and we'll get frightened from time to time. And then yes, we'll pick up and take an action towards our own empowerment.
Exactly. And that's the only way that you can do it, brains, is you got to move. You know, you cannot stay stagnant because time is going on. There's a lot of people that get uncomfortable with change, but change is a constant, you know, and it's going to happen whether you like it or not. So you better get in line before you get left behind. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Deborah, how to get more, you know, power punch, financial information to join the group, the whole shebang.
Yes, thank you so much, April. Women Navigating Finances Facebook group, and it's finances plural, or a website, www.womennavigatingfinances.com. And then email us at team@womennavigatingfinances with your questions, with your concerns. Join the group. You know, when women share things together, we release oxytocin, and then there's this kind of infectious compounding energy, right, that I love, right? And then we can say, hey, I was there, and support each other, because we don't want to do this thing called life and love and money and empowerment and energy alignment by ourselves. Well, we can, but it's so much easier to have a group that's supportive. And that's what we're doing in Women Navigating Finances. And there's a whole lot of resources on any of those sites, and there'll be just more and more and more as we progress, such that women can feel received at whatever space they are. They can learn to find the bravery to bring those subconscious fears, which have been running them all this while, to the conscious so we can deal with them and move through what used to hold us back. And what soon we're going to look back and say, that was nothing.
I know. Well, you are something, and you are support. You are that third leg. And me and Piggy are going to sit there and talk about make some investments. Brains, this has just been, you know, jam-packed. And again, we're trying to help you. We're trying to help you strategize because things are changing. I don't call it a new normal. This is a new different. This is so different than what we've ever experienced before. But we have made it through before, and we will make it through again. And sisterhood is rocking hard, okay?
You know, April, I know you're trying to wrap up. There is a very important distinction I want to make, and that is not to get our focus on individual products, because a lot of us have been sold, like life insurance, annuities, some mutual funds, some exchange-traded funds, whatever. And we have this bevy of products, and we've been like, well, is that better than that? I want to take us away from the products, which is the caboose end of the train, to the engine, which is the plan. And that's what's caught a lot of people off guard, particularly in the pandemic. They didn't have a plan. Like if you had a plan and the pandemic came along, you go, oh, we're brains. All right, I had a plan, but now we have to pivot. So we're going to pivot on my plan, which is a whole different set of energy than, oh, my heart, the world is not like I know it. I have to figure out what to do. See, we need to make a plan when we can intellectually focus in, drill down, and put some building blocks down such that when the unexpected comes along, we have our plan and now we just pivot. That's a whole different feeling than not having a plan at all. So forget the products. Forget them.
It's like doing the cha-cha, you know? You got to go up, you got to go back. But then when you're doing salsa or merengue, you go back and then you come forward. So life is a dance. And so that's what we need to do. We need to put on those stilettos, some pantyhose. You still wear pantyhose? Because I wore some
pantyhose.
I do. I do, too.
I do.
Put some pantyhose on and a short skirt and hold your head up and make it happen. Thank you so much, Deborah Morrison, for being here on The Edge. Come back and share. You've got so much information and wisdom. I want to do some podcast potlucks and have you there with us because there is a fireball of energy. And again, like I said, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your support and your kind words. It means the world to me.
Thank you, April. It's been my complete pleasure.
All right. Race, I need you to subscribe right now. Hit that subscribe button. Share this with every woman that you know. You can't go wrong. The information is free. You didn't pay to get up in here, so you better pay attention. Talk to you later, Brains. Bye-bye.